The Church, in her wisdom, sets out weekly readings from the Gospels. These readings allow us to follow the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the story of our salvation. Upper Room Media presents to you the weekly Sunday homily delivered from Sydney, Australia.
This idea of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, calling the Holy Spirit the devil, Beelzebub, satanic, is unforgivable. Because once you do that, once you make the only source of power to forgive your sins evil, once you deny the power of God to forgive you, then he no longer has the power to forgive you. It's like someone who's paying through in a war, in a battle, sitting in the corner, and his enemies are about to kill him. And then his allies come from around the corner, and he looks at his allies and says to them, "No, but you're not my allies, you're my enemy too." You deny the power of the only source of forgiveness, the only source of power to help you. And then he ends with this passage, which I'd like to concentrate on. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit, brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in judgment. Our Lord says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. That word in Greek, perisumatos, means out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. Literally, the word means all around, excess. The image is of a jar that is being filled, and as it's being overfilled, it's overflowing over the sides. So our Lord is saying, out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever comes out of your mouth is what your heart is filled with. So much so that you can't hold it back. And we've all had that experience. We've all had that experience that once we are pushed, sometimes in the simplest of things, sometimes playing sports, sometimes while we're driving, the second something stresses us or pushes us, it's almost like we vomit out filth. The words that come out, the ideas that come out, the anger that comes out, because out of the overflow of the heart, man speaks. These are things that were always in us. That's why our Lord says to us, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. We bring out good from our mouths if our hearts are good, but if our hearts are evil, then the overflow of our hearts is evil words. What we see and what we say and what we do is an overflow of our hearts. You know, in earliest Christian thought, there was a thing, there was an idea that somehow has been missed a little bit. This idea that humanity was created by God to be a temple of God. That he would be in us. That he would fill us. But by the same token, just as he can fill us, so can darkness. So can brokenness. So can brokenness. And that means that an overflow of evil, when I have no control over my tongue, is because my heart, there is darkness. It is indwelling me. St. Chrysostom says, when wickedness is overflowing within, its words will pour out of one's mouth. So when you hear someone speaking wicked words, do not suppose only so much wickedness to be in that one as the words display, but suspect the fountain to be much more abundant. For that which is spoken outwardly is the superabundance of that which is within. He's saying that when you hear evil spoken, then you have to understand that what is inside is far worse. It's far worse. And forgive me, I speak to myself first. Because all of us are guilty of this. All of us have darkness within us that comes out in our mouths in the way that we speak. And I'm not saying, when he says he, Christ is not saying wicked words as in curse words. He's not limiting what can come, evil that comes out of our mouths, to be cursing, to be swearing. It's hurtful words. It's words that we use to pain others. It's words that we use to cast others down. It's words that we use, instead of encouraging and edifying others, we push them down, we belittle them. It's every word that we speak that Christ says, even if it's idle, even if it's not an evil word, if it's a useless word, if it's a word that's spoken that has no purpose, it doesn't bring people up. It leaves them as they are. It mocks them. It belittles them. It doesn't encourage them. It means that every word that we speak that doesn't encourage, even if it doesn't belittle, is still idle. Every time I had an opportunity to comfort somebody, I didn't. Every time I had an opportunity to bring somebody up, to lift them up, to take off their burdens, and instead I didn't. We have to begin with what is within, because the words that come out of our mouths are the words that overflow. And forgive me again, I speak to myself first. In the epistle of James, James writes that every creature has been tamed by humanity except the tongue. Every creature. Lions, bears, snakes, sharks, everything has been tamed except for tongues. It's the one thing that we haven't controlled. The ancient world took pride in humanity's ability to tame and control the animal. But no one can tame the tongue. We can tame everything. Animals, the atom, nuclear power. And we can't control what's in our mouths. James calls it is an unruly or disorderly evil full of deadly poison. It's an unstable and unpredictable power. And once it's released or uncontrolled, it's capable of unimaginable destruction. Think about this. Think how many civil wars. Think how many family feuds. Think how many world wars have been triggered by the tongue. The overflowing of what is within. That's why one of the early desert fathers in the 4th century, Saint Arsenius the Great, says, "Many times I have regretted having spoken. Never have I regretted having been silent. Many times I have regretted having spoken. Never have I regretted having been silent." Because what comes out hurts. It can destroy. St. James continues in his epistle and he says that specific examples of an unstable and undangerous tongue, how dangerous it can be. He says, "With the same tongue we bless God, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God. With the same tongue we bless God, and with it we also curse men who have made in the image of God." And this is perhaps the most vital thing to understand, because what he's saying is, even in the liturgical setting, which is all of us right now, as we're standing here, with our tongues we bless God, we praise Him in hymns and chants. But with our tongues, we also curse those around us who are made in the image of God. Our tongues are capable of worshipping God and simultaneously capable of cursing the image of God that stands next to us, that sits next to us. That's why St. Chrysostom says that, how can we, as we approach communion, as we walk towards the body of Christ, the body and blood of Christ, how can we walk towards the body and blood of Christ and trample on the body and blood of Christ to get there? Our brothers, our sisters. How can we do that? He says, "Ought out of the same mouth proceed, bro. This ought not be so," St. James says. So when I notice that my tongue on a Sunday morning worships God, and then on a Sunday evening curses God, because God is in all His people. When I notice that on Sunday morning I worship God and I sing praises to Him, and then in the evening I hurt people, I push them down, I don't lift them up. Or at the very least, it's idle, and something's wrong, there's darkness within. St. James says, each spring is of only one type. You know, you can't get a half salt, half fresh water spring. You can get a half salt water, half fresh water pool. But you can't get a half salt water, half fresh water spring. It's either salt water or it's fresh water. The same thing with us. There's no 50-50. Because the poison of the tongue is all pervasive. What happens if you take a little bit of salt and put it in fresh water? It's salt water. It pervades. But at the same time, just as our mouths can be the overflow of the evil that was within us, they can also be the overflow of the good that is within us. And as I said before, Christ, the reason why He created humanity was that He could have a dwelling place in us, that He could indwell us. That's why St. Cyril of Alexandria, in the beginning of his commentary on the Gospel of John, when it says that the Word became man and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he says it doesn't say that in Greek. He says, the Word became man, became flesh, and dwelt in us. That's why He came. That He could be in us. So that our overflow, everything that comes out of us, our actions, our words, would be Him. That's why St. Paul says It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's why St. Paul says, as we read in the Pauline epistle today, he could say to the Corinthians, I urge you, be imitators of me. Because he was imitating Christ. Christ was in him. Christ was in him. That's why we have to take extreme care with what's in my heart. Do not think that you can try to control your tongue just by willpower, just by training yourself. Yeah, it can help a little bit. But then it's still going to overflow inside you. We have to be careful to understand what's in our hearts. The only way that our tongues can be tamed is when Christ's light enters us and chases away the darkness through them. Then the overflow of my heart, my tongue, will only give glory to God and give peace to those around. So let's all, myself first, today in the liturgy, examine your hearts, discern what comes out. What comes out? Not just in your mouth, but in your mind, in your actions. What comes out? Is it the overflow of Christ that is so superabundant in our hearts that we can't keep him in? Or is it darkness? Is it hurt? Is it pain? Pushing people down, looking negatively at everyone around us. Let us look and then let us turn to our Lord and beg him to fill us, beg him to chase away the darkness in us. Let us confess and expose our hearts so that only his light is in us, and therefore the overflow of our hearts truly is something which is to give glory to God and give peace to those around us. Glory be to God forevermore. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.